March 2020 didn't just pause the world, it catapulted us into a future we weren't supposed to reach until 2030. A microscopic virus accomplished what years of innovation, investment, and disruption couldn't. It forced every human system to evolve overnight. E-commerce leaped forward a decade in 8 weeks. Telemedicine became mainstream before anyone finished debating its merits. Remote work transformed from a fringe benefit to a default setting. But here's what makes this acceleration so unsettling: it didn't create new trends. It simply revealed what was already inevitable. We've been handed a glimpse of our future, and now we must decide whether to shape it or let it shape us. The pandemic didn't level the playing field, it tilted it dramatically. Companies split into two camps: those with fortress balance sheets and those living paycheck to paycheck. Consider the tale of two transportation companies. Uber, owning nothing but algorithms, could shed costs like a snake sheds skin when demand collapsed. Hertz, burdened with a fleet of physical cars, filed for bankruptcy despite decades of brand recognition. The difference? Capital structure, not customer loyalty. This isn't just corporate Darwinism. It's a masterclass in what matters during crisis. Airlines received $25 billion in government aid, not because they were essential, but because they had lobbyists. Meanwhile, retailers without political connections quietly shuttered. The companies that spent years buying back stock to inflate share prices now face existential threats, having traded long-term resilience for short-term gains. Cash became king, and those without it became casualties. The lesson cuts deeper than balance sheets. In crisis, your first markdown is your best markdown. Overcorrect or perish. Remember when you had to go somewhere to get something? That world is evaporating. Healthcare is dispersing from hospitals to living rooms, with doctors conducting consultations through screens. Education is escaping ivy-covered walls. Entertainment left theaters for our couches years ago, but now even live events stream directly to our devices. Work itself, the ultimate place-bound activity, has untethered from offices. This dispersion creates a paradox. Remote work promises liberation, parents juggling childcare, professionals escaping commutes, companies slashing real estate costs. Early data surprised skeptics. Productivity climbed 3 to 5% as workers traded water cooler gossip for focused time. Yet this same trend threatens to widen inequality's chasm. High-paying jobs can go remote, low-paying ones require physical presence. The executive can Zoom from a beach house, the barista must show up. Women who historically earn 77 cents on the dollar after having children might find flexibility or might shoulder even more unpaid domestic labor while men claim home offices. The dispersion of services isn't inherently good or bad. It's a tool that amplifies existing power structures unless we intervene. For decades, marketing was alchemy, transforming average products into premium prices through emotional storytelling. Marlboro sold rugged individualism. Nike sold athletic aspiration. This was the brand age, when narratives transcended product reality. But the internet killed this magic. Wealthy consumers installed ad blockers and fled to commercial-free streaming. Advertising became a tax on the poor and tech illiterate. Then social media's "this you" culture exposed the gap between corporate messaging and actual behavior. When companies posted solidarity with racial justice movements, users instantly surfaced their dismal diversity statistics and exploitative labor practices. Welcome to the product age, where your phone exposes truth faster than PR can spin it. That luxury hotel's reputation crumbles under verified reviews. The unknown Airbnb with 5-star ratings wins the booking. Companies now face two models: charge premium prices for genuinely superior products, or offer free services while mining user data. There's no middle ground. No amount of clever advertising can obscure a mediocre product when every consumer carries a research device in their pocket. While the pandemic killed over 500,000 people globally and destroyed millions of jobs, 9 tech companies added $1.9 trillion in market value. Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft alone captured $2.3 trillion by August 2020, 21% of all U.S. publicly traded companies' worth. These giants follow a pattern: innovate something genuinely useful, obfuscate their growing monopoly through lobbying and PR, then exploit their position to extract maximum value. Amazon transformed delivery into a Prime membership feature. Apple dominates wearables, four times larger than any competitor. Facebook and Google control digital advertising like Standard Oil once controlled petroleum. Traditional antitrust frameworks fail because these companies often provide free services. How do you prove consumer harm when the product costs nothing? Yet the harm is real: reduced innovation, manipulated information flows, democracy bent by algorithmic amplification. Jeff Bezos now owns Jack Warner's Hollywood mansion, a perfect symbol of tech's conquest of every industry. Breaking up these monopolies isn't punishment, it's restoration of competition, the engine of genuine innovation. Higher education built an impressive con: raise prices 1,400% over four decades, while delivering essentially the same product. Elite universities weaponized scarcity, rejecting 95% of applicants despite admitting they could educate five times as many qualified students. This artificial constraint allowed hundreds of mediocre private colleges to charge premium prices by drafting off elite prestige. The fuel? Federally subsidized student loans, the heroine of higher education. Students now carry $1.6 trillion in debt, averaging nearly $30,000 per graduate. College became a caste system. Wealthy students are five times more likely to attend elite schools. The pandemic stripped away the illusion. When Harvard charged full tuition for Zoom classes, students paying $70,000 annually realized they were funding inaccessible campus amenities and non-existent in-person interactions. Technology offers a path forward, not replacing human connection, but scaling excellence beyond physical constraints. The coming years will cull universities unable to justify their price tags, but survivors might finally fulfill higher education's promise, making world-class teaching accessible to anyone with talent and drive, regardless of parental wealth. America's foundational promise is broken. Hard work no longer guarantees prosperity. Parental wealth does. Children from families at the 90th income percentile earn three times more than those from the 10th. Economic mobility in America trails Europe. Want the American dream? Move to Denmark. We've shifted from innovation to exploitation. Innovation creates opportunities for competitors. Exploitation is safer. Squeeze workers, addict users, extract maximum value. Amazon fires COVID safety organizers. Uber denies drivers employee status. Netflix and social media engineer endless engagement by removing natural stopping cues, the empty barrel, the chapter's end, that once moderated consumption. Yet government delivers remarkable value. A family earning $60,000 pays about $10,000 in taxes for roads, schools, environmental protection, national security, and emergency services. Try assembling that privately. During World War II, Americans fought with shared sacrifice: victory gardens producing a third of vegetables, war bonds despite financial stress, industries retooling from military production. Today, we can't agree to wear masks. This crisis offers something rare: a chance to reawaken our national character. The rising generation might embrace cooperation, humanity's actual superpower, and recognize that when half our population can't survive 60 days without assistance, we need forward-looking investment. Vote in every election, especially local ones. America isn't what it is, it's what we make of it. We shaped this Commonwealth once, and we can shape it still.